morning. It's Sunday, July 12th, 2020.
Oh, yes, Lord, by your Spirit, we ask your blessings on our time together today. Lord, that we would learn from you, amen, that you would be our teacher, that we would be open to having you as our teacher, not rule out what you say just because we have some other idea in our head. Lord, open us up, Lord, that we would be clay in your hands, that we would have that childlike quality, O Lord, to receive what it is that you have for us, O Lord. Do that good work. Do that good work in our hearts, O Lord, so that we would not fall prey to the wiles of the enemy. Do that work, good work in our hearts, so that we would get closer and know you more and enter into the place that you would have us to be, Lord, by your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
It's really strange how things that are so simple can be so major. And we have been introduced to something that is so simple, and yet life depends on it. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and their life. Mm-hmm. Their spirit and their life. And in the Bible is called words of life, the words of life, eternal life. And Jesus said, in the 8th chapter of John, he said, if you continue in my words. And of course, the real truth of the matter is, he inherited those words. He received those words. Mm. He says, I do always speak the things that I've told to speak. What he speaks, keep to the Father. And back in Deuteronomy, when Moses was talking, God said, I will put, you know, when this prophet like Moses comes, God says, I will put my words in his mouth. And so the whole tenor of everything that he says was God breathed. Mm-hmm. What Jesus said came from God. Which makes me wonder about some things. Let me give you a little bit of my mind could go a hundred different directions this morning, but in 1 Timothy 3:16, there's a scripture that says, "Great or without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." And then it makes a strange statement. Okay. It says, God was manifested in the flesh. Was he?
I don't have an argument with that. He was.
How? No. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. No. So
Christ
was God
filled with the fullness of God. That's not like a manifestation to me.
So was God.
Look at the Father. You see me, you see the Father.
Right.
So was that God manifested in the flesh of his Son?
Yeah.
So he says, he that has seen me has seen the Father.
Right.
It didn't make him one and the same,
no,
except it did.
Yeah.
He says, I and the Father are one. But we have a man and we have a God. We have God in the man.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, I'm off the thing here. God did a miracle to us, and to us, and we haven't really picked the whole thing up yet. But I think we're getting closer and closer and closer. God showed us that the way to eternal life is simple. It's really simple. And he said that Jesus prayed in Matthew, I think it was, he says, Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. One place, I think it says babes and sucklings. And so we look at it, we think, well, it's not really that simple. Like when we first got saved and we went back and we visited, or we ran into a fellow that we had known really well at house, or the Lutheran church in Eau Claire. But we knew the guy really well, and Joanne was telling him about how he'd come to the Lord and so forth, and here's a statement he made. He says, Joanne, it's not really that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's in other words, we have to use our understanding. We got to figure these things out. We got to, you know. And it would appear that way if we use it, if we go by the letter rather than the spirit. But I said all of this to say, and I want to read a couple of things, and then just think about it. I've been doing a lot of thinking about this. So, In the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, it says, and this is a major thing, and this is a dry bone chapter, and this is, remember, Denise Fay wrote a song about the dry bones.
Yeah,
we used to sing them. Remember?
Yeah, that's good.
And there was another one that we used to sing. I sang it as a kid. You know, dry bones connected to the dry, whatever, you know. And anyway, and we got so caught up with the dry bones and the bones and their function that we missed the whole thing that was being said. I missed it. But let me read this, and then this morning I ran into some things here that are totally new and different than what I had was used to. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Listen to it real carefully. And carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. And he set me down in the middle of the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Here's what it says. And he caused me to pass by them round about. In other words, he took them around and around and around to look at these dry bones. See, I didn't realize that that's what it said. And it says, and behold, there were many bones, or many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Okay? So what do? You go by the letter, and you write a song about the dry bones. The issue here had, the dry bones were, you know, were, an object, but I mean that they were not the message. And God said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, you know, I mean, how would you, what would be your answer? They're very, very dry, they're scattered. And he said, Lord, you know.
Right. That's a good answer.
That's the best answer.
Yeah.
And so he said unto me, and now here's where the word prophesy begins to become what we have begun to understand out of the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And he said, prophesy to these bones and say unto them. See, what we're used to in prophecy is somebody predicting the future or something that gets your stands hair in the back of your neck up or something, you know what I mean? And he says, and prophesy, and say unto these bones, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You know what? The most important thing that we have heard, that I have heard ever, is the Lord saying, hear my word. That's the most important thing I have ever heard. And you know what? This morning, there are millions of people that are in church that are not hearing the word of the Lord. They're hearing private interpretations. They're hearing dead doctrines, dead theology. They're hearing things that are not going to bring any life. It's not going to cause them to live. Then here it says, and before he's prophesied, the Lord said unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Are you listening carefully to this? As I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. What are we talking about? We're talking about the effect of the Word of God, which is unity. Unity came. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy unto the wind. Now we're talking about to the Holy Spirit. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. See, prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14 is when you prophesy, it's for the edification, for the exhortation, and the comfort. It's not a prediction of something. So it's along the same line. But here in the breath came upon them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Which makes me think of the book of Joel in the second chapter, where it says, and God uttered his voice before his army. And then he said in verse 11, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off from our parts. The thing that caused the bones to live and come together, you have to be filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit has to be on you, and you have to have your own Spirit. You know, the Spirit brings life, and the Holy Spirit brings eternal life. And so, what we have been given is all these promises, like Psalms 1, you know. Blessed is the man who meditates on the Word of God day and night, whose love is the Word of God, whose delight is in the Word of God. You know, God puts that in there. So blessed is that man. What does God do? God blesses them when they do that. And so then you got, you know, these other scriptures. Like I quoted one of them here in John 8:31. If you will continue in my word. You don't have to. But if you will, then you're my disciple.
Don't give up at the last minute and then miss the boat.
I'm sorry.
She said don't give up at the last minute and miss the boat.
No,
that's right.
So if you will,
that's right.
If you will continue in my word, that is what makes us his disciple. What happens, people go to church and they become disciples of a man who has his own private interpretations and his own agenda and his own, and that's, they're not disciples of Christ. They're disciples of men. I was a disciple of Martin Luther for a while. And without saying anything more that I shouldn't say here, I've been a disciple of a number of people over the years. Mm. They had their own agendas and their own things that they believed in.
Corrections to the truth.
Corrections to the truth. That's right.
That's good.
And so I have been, I've been a disciple of quite a few people over the years. And what I want to be a disciple of Christ.
Amen.
And so he says, if you're going to be my disciple, you got to go by what I say. Mm-hmm. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so, but that's not, you're believing that. And we're beginning to honor that. But that is not churchianity as a whole. They're so far, you know, the bones are so dry and they're so far away from the truth. And that scripture that in 2 Thessalonians that says, because they did not receive a love for the truth, that they might be saved. I have come to the realization, without a love for the truth, they're probably not going to be saved. And if you don't have a love for the truth, you're probably not going to get the truth. And said, because they didn't receive a love for the truth, that they might be saved, God sent them strong delusions. And I'm thinking that he could send a strong delusion right in the Bible and we could just misunderstand what it says and we would be deluded by a scripture that looks like, you know, so you think, oh, God wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
God chooses foolish things to confound the wise. Could he do it right within the word? Especially the letter part of it? Jesus says the letter kills and the spirit brings life. Couldn't something be tossed in to throw us off? Of course it could. I'm under the belief that the Holy Spirit was given to us to allow us to separate the spirit of the word from the letter.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a lot of things from the letter aspect of God's word that can throw you way off.
Yeah, it kind of contradicts itself sometimes.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have a real major, major problem with whether there were two guys in the tombs or one. I'm teasing. What difference does it make? But you listen to some of one of the Gospels that says there were two, and you listen to another one that says there was one. And unless there was one two-headed one or something. Which I don't think. But from what we see, like in Ezekiel, it is becoming more and more obvious that the intake of God's word has more impact on people than the teaching of it. Because the teacher can be kiddywampus. But people put so much trust in men. So what does Paul say in the third chapter of Philippians? He says, we are the true Jew, he's saying. But what it means is, we are the Jew that has gone in the right way. That's what he's talking about. In, what is the other word he uses? I'll think of it here in a minute. But anyway, he says, and we are the true Jew, he says, who worship God in the Spirit. And here's a strange thing, and this is in the King James. I don't know how it is in some of the other translations, but it says, who rejoice in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. I think it's like Philippians 3:3. I'm not sure. We are the who have been circumcised in the heart. Our heart has been circumcised. And anyway, he says, we worship God in the Spirit, we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we put no confidence in the flesh. That's quite a step to take.
Oh, it is.
It took me a long, long time. And in a way, I thank God for some of the mistakes that some of the great ones have made. It gets you to the place where you finally say, I've had enough of this.
Most of the translations are pretty similar to King James. Like the NIV says, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh. The New Living Translation, for we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are fully circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. So, depending on where you are on the humanity of Christ, you get a little bit. But they all end up with not trusting in the flesh. Which kind of can differentiate.
And that is a big one.
Oh, it is.
That is a big, big thing. You mean you don't put confidence in the Pope?
The Pope's not really flesh. He's a Pope. The Trinitarians are all, well, Christ is not really flesh. He's God. I mean, like, if we conveniently work our way around that.
When Steve Faye first got saved, and his wife's name then, it was Beverly. She was just a little girl. And that was Darren's mother. And anyway, but she, in order to have a baby, she had to have it cesarean. And so, I don't know why he did what he did, but it was so expensive, and he didn't have insurance, so that he joined the Navy. Remember that?
No, I didn't. Well, maybe I do kind of remember that.
Yeah, he joined the Navy, and because then the Navy
bore the annual medical bills. Huh?
Yeah, because what was he in before? Was it the Marines?
I think so.
But he joined the branch. I think it was the Navy. Yeah, because he was on a ship. And he was out on the ship, and he wrote us a letter. And he says, it just came to me. He said, I realize now who the Antichrist is. It's the Pope.
Yep.
And anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well.
And I wanted to ask which one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There had to be some aspect of that that had some truth, but I don't know if it he got bullseye on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, was it John? I think John in one of the epistles, he made a statement. He says that there are many antichrists. And so, and in 1 John 4:2, it says, you know, if any spirit does not confess that Jesus came in the flesh, that is the spirit of the antichrist. Mm. I'm not even really sure what that all means, but that's what it says. And so the Antichrist, then we can understand, is an objective is to change the nature of Christ. Is he a man or is he a God? You know?
Yeah.
And it's a funny thing, but I'm wondering, you know, but when I see this, Jesus has given a lot of areas of revelation to us to let it help us to understand what he is. And after the resurrection, and he's in the, he was in a room without the doors open. He just walked, all of a sudden he was there. And they said, it's a spirit. And then he makes this profound statement. And he says, well, handle me and touch me. He says, does a spirit have flesh and bones? Is that what he said?
Mm-hmm. What he said.
So what does that tell you? He was resurrected, but he was resurrected something like he was before. You know what I mean? He wasn't resurrected or died as a man and resurrected as a spirit. And he wanted to make sure that we knew that. Does a spirit have bones and flesh? I've got some people that I'd like to tell that to, but maybe the day will come.
You know, you were talking. We hear a lot of words in the course of our lifetime, and we read a lot of words, and they are not spirit and life.
No, they're not.
You know,
yep.
Jesus' words are unique in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be alert to that difference. You know, we're used to treating words as basically nothing. You know? But oh my, you take the meaning of what Jesus said and you give it the weight that it warrants. Those are some kind of words.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spirit and life there. I was thinking, you know, people go to such ridiculous ends to try to find out, you know, the truth, the meaning of life, or whatever. They try to, you know, they travel to India and all sorts of, you know, go up to the Himalayan mountains in Tibet to try to get truth. And the very ironic thing is that, hey, just cross the room to your bookshelf and pull down the Bible and, you know, treat it as a child would. And you don't have to go to India. Just pull that book out of your shelf. And now you have to have somehow or other the right heart. The Lord has to be in it and so forth. But still.
Well, there's no possible way that things like the Wonder Bible and Bibles that are sent into the deepest Africa and the jungles and places where they put them in the languages of you know some of these tribes and so forth, and come up with what is that? It works off the sun, solar powered
solar cells.
Yeah, and I don't know how that's going anymore, but I remember I had read an article on it that there are some of the religions, you know, or some of the churches that were sending Bibles into the deepest jungles and stuff that were solar powered. And if they could teach people how to use them, you know. But they just leave them set in the sun and they charge back up. And I mean, that's not a mystery to us or anything. I mean, I think that they do stuff like that.
And you could wind it up with their...
There are wind-ups, yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, what would be the... I mean, God is behind stuff like that. Why would he be behind it? What would be the reason? What would be the advantage for the Word of God being brought into the lives of some of these tribes and having them listen to it? What would be the advantage? Well, that is the mystery to the church. It's a mystery that God is allowing us to understand. And I'm beginning to really understand it just because I am seeing what is happening by people, you know. After the tape is over, I'll tell you a couple of names, but people that that are listening to the scriptures. I have him, you know. I ran into one just the other day. I hadn't seen him for at least a year. And Candy and I were talking about it after he came over to Candy's because I was sitting over there. And she says, I would have never believed what I just heard if I hadn't, you know, hadn't heard it. And I said, it's not because of a conversation, which a little bit of it could be, but it's not really a conversation with me. But I had shared with the guy about the value of just listening to the scripture and taking it into your system. And here he is. He might as well be right here. Because the Word of God has almost totally changed his life, just transformed. And it was an enjoyable experience. And he fits. He fits right here.
Mm.
And I think that from some things, I think he's maybe gaining some headway, getting his wife to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, mention the name and it can get out of that wax. I want to be really careful what I say, but I've got too many now. Too many examples of people that are just listening to the scriptures and not really having any outside help. And the church is not helping them. But they're listening to the scriptures and they're all coming to the same realization, just like we are. We've helped one another, you know, like the 1 Corinthians 14, the function of the prophet, where we learn from one another, but we're not. We're actually all we're learning is the scripture, and it helps when you got three or four people listening to the scripture, and where they can they help each other. And God set it up that way. But like the Wonder Bible and some of the things that are happening, you know, only God can possibly do that. I went, you know, to a number of different places to try to find a Wonder Bible, and I, any place I found it, nobody knew they had it. Why did they have it? It's not because anybody there that I saw thought it was a great idea. And I went over to Walmart and I asked the girl at the counter, I says, do you have any Wonder Bibles? And she said, well, what is that? And I didn't ask her how long she'd worked there because I thought, it might be 15 years, you know what I mean? And so anyway, so I went into the place, where you make exchanges to take stuff back. And I asked the guy there, and I think he was a Christian, but he said, yeah, he said, we have some. He says, right over there, and I think it was like by aisle 5. So I went over on aisle 5, and I found them. Guess what? The girl that I asked if they had any stood right there, and mm-hmm. the Wonder Bible stood right here.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I didn't know we had those.
Yeah, that's the way of it.
Yeah. But anyway, having said that, the reason I said it is that only God can do it. With that. And see, while we're sitting here thinking, well, they need to be taught. Somebody needs to teach them, whatever. No. They need to be taught to hear God's word.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched things being done in people that I would have stumbled upon. They heard the word of God and it registered because God made it register. The word of God doesn't return void. He caused them to make sense to him.
Mm.
And so the thing that we need to realize that the best thing you can do to witness to somebody is to get them listening to God's word.
Amen.
Get them listening to it. Tell them about it. Here's what you need to do. And I've watched some of it. They had no interest in it, but some that did. One of them is a fellow that listens to it all the time. And sometimes I won't talk to him for 2 or 3 years, and I talk to him, and he's right where we're at here.
Mm-hmm.
God is just doing a major thing in him. So anyway, well, I woke up long enough to say that.
Mm-hmm. When I was over here praying on Friday, it was just somehow impressed on me that if the Holy Spirit is not our teacher, we got trouble. It was directed at me. I'm not pointing my finger out other places. I need to have it be the Holy Spirit that does the teaching, not my own preconceptions, I really need the Holy Spirit to be the teacher. And it calls for a certain humility,
Amen.
I'm not quite sure I quite come that way. I don't know.
It's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress, that's right. But oh my. We were talking here about Satan transforming himself into an angel of light. And how do you not buy what an angel of light is selling to you,
mm-hmm.
Well, I think it has to be the Holy Spirit that will...
You've got to try that spirit.
Yeah.
You ask the question.
Uh-huh.
Jesus
yeah.
come in the flesh or not?
Yeah.
And see what's said.
Yeah. There was a German philosopher who... he was a he was an atheist, you know, and he had a bunch of atheistic things that he said in the course of his books he wrote about philosophy. Well, the man grew up in a Lutheran, German Lutheran church. I think his father was a pastor. And, you know, there was not life there. The man was looking for life, and he wasn't finding it. It's a little hard to fault him. You got some institution that is claiming truth and whatever, and hey, there just isn't life there. So it's hardly fair to fault him too much for if what he was saying, hey, this is baloney. There's no life here. I'm going to look for it elsewhere.
Yeah, it's tough when you take a position that's not true, and then you're trying to figure out how to convince people it is true.
Start
out with a deception or a lie and try and make it true. So it's tough.
Or, you know, maybe you're saying words, I suppose, that had some life at one time or in certain, you know, but right now all they are is letter.
Well,
no life there.
And the devil can certainly make you think there's life in
the
Keith mentioned something that kind of just got me thinking a little bit. I've got more questions than answers, but it's interesting to think about Christ being resurrected. And it wasn't the spirit of Christ, but it was the body. It was the flesh of Christ. You know, and pretty much everywhere else when we talk about that, you know, God doesn't want our bodies. He wants our soul. So our bodies aren't going to be resurrected, but our spirits are going to be set free. You know, and it's interesting that he made that point with Christ that is flesh. And I think he did that to help with this, that Christ was not a spirit, he was a man, because he resurrected his flesh and bones. Seems how none of us are being afflicted with this burden of being confused as being a god. It's not necessary that when you know the time comes, our flesh is resurrected. But it's interesting to know that he did that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure I've got that all right, but it's like, well, in this case he did. But I don't think
now we're going to have glorified bodies. And I think those glorified bodies will be bodies, you know, flesh and bone, I guess.
In the image of God, so...
Yeah.
I mean, that glorified body, which might be spirit, but it has a form, but I think... Like I said, he made that point of going, oh, boy. There's some more blank areas to be filled in there.
Yeah. I think Paul speaks to all that in 1 Corinthians 15. And I think it's a... I think they're bodies. You know, they're flesh and bone, you know. But what do you do with a body that's been dead for 200 years? You know, it's something goes on there that's kind of spiritual.
Well, yeah. Far be it that there's nothing God can't do.
Well, that's right.
Well, yeah.
I think it says somewhere, I can't find it here, but I thought it was in the fifth chapter of Ephesians.
Ephesians, you say?
I think so.
Ephesians 5.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
It's in Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones.
We are members of
I don't know what that means. I'm just, I just have to remember.
It's exactly what I was thinking. I go, what exactly does that mean? I mean,
well, it somehow indicates something more than just some kind of ethereal spirit thing,
well,
you know.
I totally agree.
Whatever it means, it means that
members of his body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what it means.
Well, thanks, Keith. I cleared that right up.
But here's something that I wanted to bring in relationship to this. Now, we wonder, you know, why can't people teach the deep things of God? Huh. Well, listen. But God reveals these things unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit, we're talking about God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit searches the deep things of God and reveals them to us. And then, and this is in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, it says in verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? The only thing that really knows you accurately, or the most accurately, is your own spirit. You can't hide stuff from your own spirit, you know. And then it says, even so, this is verse 11, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. So you wonder, well, isn't there somebody that can teach me these things? You know, like the eunuch, you know, he says, isn't there somebody, he says, well, how can I know these things except somebody teaches me? And that's not that that was the answer. It's just like, that's the human way, that's the way we look at it, see? And so, it says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And that's what is supposed to go on in our meetings as prophets filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with the Word of God.
I was laughing as you read that. So how come man can't teach the deep things of God? Because he doesn't know.
It's not in him.
It's not in him. The deep things of God come from the Holy Spirit. That's why man can't teach it, because he doesn't know.
It says,
unfortunately, he thinks he does and tries to put out a good path.
That's the trouble.
The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Mm-hmm. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned.
And it feeds back into the revelation we got the other day, where it's not the letter of the word, it's the spirit of the Holy Spirit putting life into the letters.
Yes, amen.
Yes.
It just keeps coming back more and more.
Yep.
I blame Adam. And
you don't blame Eve, huh?
Well, I blame them both. But you know, they were cast out of the garden. They no longer had access to that tree of life. And I think we still have a hard time getting. We don't have quite an angel with a flaming sword protecting it, but we still have a hard time eating from the fruit of the tree of life.
Yeah. But anyway, the best witness that you can give is to tell people to hear the Word of God, get them listening to the Word of God, and try to tell them why, because what happens, the Word is not easily discerned. And so people read it and they get bogged over, down. It's too much to do. It's too hard to do. And I want to tell you something. When I first started listening to the scriptures, even though I love God's word, not like I do, I didn't then, not like I do now. But anyway, there were times I thought, you know what? I've heard this same thing over. Today, it's not the same thing over and over and over. I picked up some things this morning and I thought, I didn't know I said that.
Mm-hmm.
And as I can understand, you know, because if I hadn't been in the place that I was at, and if I hadn't heard a voice that shook me from one end to the other, you know, if I hadn't heard that, I might have been tended to, or had a tendency to give up a couple of times and just set them aside. It's like, who could understand that?
Mm.
It don't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And of course, if we get to the letter instead of the spirit, it doesn't make sense.
No, that's right. Now, we would not have been able to sustain it for 20 years.
No, you can't stay that long with the letter.
No.
And if you do, you get legalistic.
Uh-huh.
Judgmental.
I guess two things that in our conversations of it, I say, is like what Charlie was talking about, I don't know about floating around as spirits, okay? The Lord made it perfectly clear that Jesus came back as a man.
Yeah.
That we could see him, touch him, you know, like Thomas, I'm not going to believe you're who you are unless I can literally touch you and
yeah.
That. And then it reminded me of in the Bible where the beggar Lazarus died and went into the bosom of Abraham, but there was some kind of, you could see hell and you could be in heaven type thing that was prior, and he was asking, crying, you know, have mercy and send Lazarus to me and dip the water. So they could see each other. They were real beings, in a sense. Okay, so that just kind of confirms
that. Mm-hmm.
You know, that we are. The other thing is that when you were talking about, like in the beginning, about church, people want to go to church to be entertained. I don't want to hear anything negative. I don't want to have to work at my salvation. I want you to come in and just tell me. Three Hail Marys and you're set. You don't have to work at it. I want to hear a good, uplifting story. I want to hear all the upbeat stories. I don't want to hear about the stories and say, I have to work at this.
Been there, done that.
Exactly. Because once you get filled with the Spirit of God, it's almost a work, but it's a work in progress of love. And people are shying away from that. They want, I want to be entertained. I want to leave here knowing that I don't have to worry about anything. And then I'll come back next week and I want the same old manna.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's a good way to put it.
As you carry it with you throughout the week, and the spirit that is inside you, that's where you're fed all this new stuff by the Lord all week long. And it's like, you are eating the best food all week long.
Mm-hmm.
But you're coming back, if you don't do anything with it, you're coming back to stale manna. every week and just being filled with gunk.
That's right.
That's my interpretation of
You mean they have snack food in the Bible?
They have snack food!
There's a that scripture, which has become a real major one for me, which is in 2 Thessalonians. It says, because they did not receive a love for the truth. Well, the word receive is in there. I think it's probably in all of them, you know. And that's in 2 Thessalonians 2:10. And because they did not receive a love for the truth. In other words, God is trying to give everybody a love for the truth. But they, because the people don't receive it.
Most people just want to know enough so they can follow the rules and be okay.
Hey, you're good.
Yeah,
that's not it.
In other words, what's the least of all I can do?
Exactly.
To get into heaven.
Yeah. The rich young ruler.
Yeah, the slightest.
I got other things I can
do. Sorry, if I just get in there by my being hanging out by my fingernails.
What did you have? Second Thessalonians 2:10?
2:10, yeah.
And with King James says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
Yeah.
He was wondering the word for seeing is in all that. Probably. I mean, it's such a wonderful gift.
Except they can receive, but they will refuse to love the truth and accept it. Let's see. Because they refuse to love and accept the truth. Refuse to love. Receive the love. Receive the love. Receive. Receive not. Accept the love. Accept the love. Refuse to love the truth. For they found no place in their hearts for the truth.
Yeah, that's good.
That's the NET Bible.
But that tells us God's expectations. He expects us to receive a love for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So when people get argumentative or they get whatever, you know, it's like now we're talking about an area where the if you have a love for the truth, you're not going to be offended or upset with people.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because they see it as something else, you know.
Yeah. That's one of the things I absolutely love about our meetings.
Yeah.
It's that is the spirit that's prevailing.
Yeah.
But I
want the truth. And the only way that I've ever seen a church, the things that operate in a church that operates it so that we can, or that works in such a way that we can get that, is the way that God has set it up with us. We've come to some major revelations. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? You know what we're talking about? We're talking about church.
But the real revelation in that is that you acknowledge that you might not have the truth, but you're seeking it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because if you start from a place where I've got the truth, and now you're questioning my truth, you can't move. Whereas if you say, this is the truth I have, but I might not have the complete truth. Or my truth might actually not be truth. And I need the Holy Spirit to discern it.
Yeah.
I mean, so you can have a discussion or a meeting or whatever, and someone brings something, and instead of going, that's not right, and you just stand stiff-necked, and you go, you know, you're not right. You know, instead of saying, well, that's not what I think, but I might not be right. I might not have the full truth here. It allows God to do so much more with you.
Yeah.
Well, there's a scripture that says, great peace have they that love God's word, and nothing shall offend them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so if people are offended, there's a love for God's word missing somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Or something. You know, we can go in the ditch, though. We just can go in the ditch. And I think we can get out of it, too, but we can go in the ditch.
I'm glad you've given us a couple options.
Hopefully we hit the ditch fast enough we realize it's a ditch and come right out.
Hopefully we hit the ditch and go right up here.
Yeah. You probably go, oh, that's a ditch. We don't want to go there.
Hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, no. It's true.
I think that is. That is.
Oh, yeah. I know it.
There's some mm-hmm. discernment in that. I mean,
that's right.
If you find a ditch, you want to get out of that ditch as quick as you can.
Sure. Yeah.
Because otherwise you can get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's harder to get out.
And frankly, my experiences in the ditch, I think, have been valuable.
There is some, because you have to admit that you've got to be in the ditch long enough to realize that, hey, I was wrong. You know, God has been doing something, showing mm-hmm. me that, you know, I was hanging on to this false concept.
Never, yeah, No. I get a sense of what that's like. Something.
I kind of thought if all the rules and you did what you're supposed to, that you would be blessed and you wouldn't suffer or from having any sickness or having any of this or having any problem. But that's not the way it is.
You mean you could you could have a works way through that? Look at all the things I've taken on. It's kind of Paul-like. Look at all the stuff I put up with.
Just being a good girl.
But getting back to the simplicity of this thing, if you listen to the scripture, you know what Jesus said in John 8:31. He said, "If you continue in my word." How difficult is that?
Shouldn't be real hard.
It's difficult.
Huh?
It's difficult. It is.
No, I appreciate the honesty.
It is.
You're hard. Right. I mean, we're
contending against our natural impulses, which...
Yeah, and you think, oh, I've heard that before.
Well, and flesh gets tired.
Yeah.
You just get tired.
And it's old.
And
the eyes don't work as
much.
Oh, well, then I can listen to
it. Yeah, no, you're exactly right.
Maybe old and tired has some value, though. You know, you give up man's way. And well, you would like to think it works out that way.
Even into submission, like, okay, God, I'll do this. Well, in a way, though, that is getting yourself out of the way of God.
Yeah.
And there's value, and there's definitely value in that.
Well,
but I agree. I'm kind of in Bonnie's camp here. Continue to seek him diligently is a heavy load. That yoke is heavy. Mm-hmm. There doesn't say take days off for holidays. It says continue to look.
Yeah, you know. Play my word, and then you'll get all these blessings or whatever.
And that hasn't been how your road's gone.
I know, but it's...
And a couple stumbles.
You know, when the Holy Spirit is moving, it gets a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like we're asked to climb Mount Everest to stay in this one. I understand that aspect.
Yeah.
It's like all you have to do is continue. Oh, that's not hard. And then the other hand, that's not easy. It's kind of like Keith used to say, the way is straight, but the path is narrow. Mm-hmm. And it sounds really easy, but the more you think on it, you go, yeah, that's not easy at all. That's hard. It's straight, and you kind of stay out of it. You know?
Well, Jesus said now, I don't want to argue with that, but Jesus says, my burden is easy, and my yoke is light.
That's right. He says that too.
Yeah, he says a lot of things.
Well, but he did say that.
But he did say
it. How do you explain COVID?
Okay.
I mean, especially especially in the United States. It's just like our personal we need our lessons somehow.
God bless you, Bonnie. You know what? Even though you're saying it's hard, you're still doing it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the encouraging part.
I do think succeeding is easy. Failing is hard.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a hard experience. Not, but hey, when you do it, this is easy.
When you're called, you are chosen, right?
Yeah, something. I don't know. I
have to go.
Yeah.
I think we were just about done anyways.
Yeah. God bless you.
God bless
you, Bonnie.
Yeah.
Charlotte, God bless you.